sin. It's something I'm actually something of an expert in on this subject, because I am very, very good at it. Yes, being sinful, that is. I'm always reminded of the great St. Paul, who said, "I am the worst of sinners." So there's a sense in which I go, well, what chance do the rest of us have if Paul was the worst of sinners? I think we can all accept what the Bible tells us, that all have sinned and all have fallen short. But having said that, I believe that there are many different ways that we may deal with sin. Perhaps the most straightforward is to simply deny it. I'm not a bad person. I haven't done anything really bad. Or we can justify it. But in the circumstances, it did seem the right thing to do. I've heard that said after somebody had committed adultery, but it just seemed the right thing to do. Maybe it was in the mind of the recent far-right protests. We may say, well, they hurt me first, as a justification for hurting back. And if we think of the nations, that is the usual justification for war. But let's not forget, well, they hurt me first happens in the playground, and it happens in the work environment all the time. Of course, we could redefine sin. It was only an innocent little white lie. Well, not like I hurt anybody. Well, too much. The redefinition is so common, and I suspect we all do it from time to time. And again, it's something we often hear in the world, that sin is a very old-fashioned idea that doesn't really exist. Of course, we might choose to minimize our sin. It wasn't that bad. Sin is sin, let's be quite clear. There are no grades of sin. It might be horrifying, but white lies stand together with murder. Sin is sin. We must not deceive ourselves about our own sinfulness. But finally, of course, we might just face up to it. That's what St. Paul did. Call it out for what it is. Bring it before God. Doing that in full knowledge that our sins are forgiven and dealt with on the cross, even before we confess them. Let's remember as well that what Jesus told us. He said, if you say, you fool, we have committed murder in our hearts. If we look lustfully at another, we are committing adultery or fornication. And I simply ask, who among us has not sinned in this way? Who among us is not guilty of murder or sexual sin? It's okay, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands at this point. But let's just reflect on that. And I don't say that to make us feel guilty. I say it to give us all a reality check. And this is where we move to our gospel. Two main points. Sin comes from within, and it can't be dealt with by what we do. The main sin of the Pharisees and teachers of the law was that they had it fixed in their minds that if they complied with all that was in the law, then they were pure and justified. But as we know, most of them were not pure and justified. Worse still, most of them were hypocrites. And the hypocrisy was shown in so many ways, but in today's gospel we hear about one of them. Shock, horror. Some of the disciples were eating without washing their hands. Now, it is worth saying at this stage that a lot of the so-called Old Testament laws were given for very sound public health reasons. And washing your hands before you eat, I would suggest, is one of those good reasons. But it was advisory. It was not compulsory. It was not the law. You were not defiled if you didn't do it. Jesus wonderfully quoted from Isaiah, "This people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." The Pharisees were so bound up with the law, all 613 of them, that they couldn't see the wood for the trees. We cannot justify ourselves by sticking to a rigid set of rules. We don't need 613 of them. 10 were quite sufficient, and Jesus summed it up in just 2. Love God, love your fellow humans. But the second point is also very important, that sin comes from within the heart. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. Which is a pretty good starter for 10 on the state of our human minds. We must not deceive ourselves. These sins are bound into each and every one of us, including all of us here. To an extent, we are almost pre-programmed to sin in our human condition. Something I've heard said is, you never have to teach a child to sin. They are very good at it already. Dirty hands do not defile us, but this lot certainly does. So having made you feel depressed and shameful, here is the good news. Jesus has died to redeem us from all sin, to cleanse us, to reprogram that sinfulness that's been built into the human heart. First thing we do is confess everything, including the hidden sin that we hide, or the sin that we're perhaps not even aware of. And then we invite God's Holy Spirit to come and live in us and transform the sin that is within to a righteous godliness. This is what we do every week in confession and that prayer of absolution. Paul said this in his letter to the Romans, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Only God can do that. There is no human effort or self-will. There's no outward things that we can do other than complete, open and honest confession of our utter sinfulness. We, of course, this side of heaven will go on sinning. But God living in us through his Holy Spirit will convict us of any sin because his desire is for us to be righteous, so that we can serve him, so that we can do his work here and now on earth. So it's important we keep short accounts. When we're open to the Spirit, he will tell us straight away when our thoughts or deeds have fallen short. I can highly recommend that is the time, right then, to bring it in confession, right away, and receive God's forgiveness. Don't hang on until Sunday. Deal with it. That's what God wants us to do. So in summary, our actions don't and can never make us holy. Only God can do that. We are all sinners. And in the most heinous way, not so much by actions, but through thoughts. And we must never deceive ourselves otherwise. There can be no denial of sin. No justification, no redefinition, no minimization. But we are also, through our faith and our belief, all redeemed, holy and pure, washed clean by God. I think St. Peter summed this up very well in his first letter. So hear his words. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Amen.